we don't have, it does not depend upon our free will to create conditions. But the free will is within the area of how do we use, how do we behave within conditions. Is that clear?
Is it safe to say that?
Pardon?
Is it safe to say that Hashem in that sense that we make it do that? Did Hashem do anything in this world except make you think? Is that how you think?
That to make you think?
Hashem can't make decisions for you. That's what
one thing is that there is nothing Hashem can
make. So Hashem couldn't make a decision for you?
No, he doesn't want to make. This is the way he created us. He created us that our ethical behavior should depend on us. Very, very seldom in history would happen that providence would tap into free will. It happened. It happened where we are going to read it this week and next week about Paroi, that Hashem says, and I'm going to make his heart heavy and he wouldn't let you out, which means this is really cutting in the free will of Paroi. This is an exceptional. And even this, I'll tell you what the Ramban explains. The Ramban has the problem. Paro was punished for being stubborn. Hashem says, I'm going to make him stubborn. And so why do you punish him? You made him stubborn, why do you punish him? Huh? So Ramban explains. He says, what does really Paro wanted? He wanted to keep the slaves. He didn't want to let them go. But the beating up was so strong that he couldn't stand the beating. He would give in. So all the rebellion gave him, it gave him the strength to hold on to what he really wanted in spite of the beating. So therefore, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him decide not to let him go. He had his free will, but on the other hand, he made him that he could stand the punishment. That he could stand the punishment. Is that clear? He wanted them slaves, not only wanted them slaves. It was already anti-Semitism. It says in the beginning of Shmos, we are reading it, that he already hated them because they are a Jew. Take a look what's going on today. Take a look what's going on now with that scandal with the Ethiopians. You know that scandal, huh? It's a double scandal. The Israeli government has secretly taken out falashas from Ethiopia and brought them here. And it was done secretly because the Arabs would protest. They took out about 10,000 people. They're already in Israel. For some reason, the Jewish agency or the Israeli government called a press conference and told the whole story. So suddenly, it was stopped. They can't get the people out anymore. And all the Arabs have now united. The Sudan was in war. They were going to have a transit to Sudan. So they are all accusing Sudan, they are all accusing Ethiopia. You did something with Israel, you did something. as it became an international scandal for helping Israel or for helping a Jew. There is a scandal how it was released. Further, if somebody would ask me, I'd say my own guess. It was released for fundraising purposes. Because it came out that he had brought in 10,000 shalashes and they have to establish them. That's a good reason for people to give money. So I think they can do it for money. They can risk somebody else's life. It's special. Now what's happening? The refugees who came in, they are very unhappy. They are very unhappy because half of their families got stuck over there. And now because of that publicity, they are not coming out. And they came with the Jewish agency, brought some press photographers, and they were hiding. They didn't want to talk to them. They didn't talk to them. But the fact that there is anti-Semitism, it's official anti-Semitism today. It's you can see it much more against Israel as you can see it against the individual Jew in outside of Israel. The Jew in America feels, if he doesn't feel so much, there is some, but he doesn't feel so much. But Israel as a country, as a Jewish country, definitely is. But with power, but the same. Power started with anti-Semitism. That's another question. What is anti-Semitism? What is causing it? That's another question. But power started with anti-Semitism. And while he wanted slaves, it was more torturing them than having slaves. That's a Chumash, clearly. But the Ramban says that even when the Kodesh Baruch Hu strengthened his hearts, he did not touch his freedom. He gave him the capacity of resisting the punishment. To be free, to act as he wanted. Is it clear? But still, it's seemingly it's as if providence has cut into his freedom. But very, very seldom in history happen exceptions like this. There is something which we don't understand. Our very free will is really something which we just believe. We cannot understand. It's hard to prove. It may be an axiom. You know what I mean, an axiom? Is something which is within us, which we cannot prove. And I'll tell you where from I take it. I take it from the fact that there is criminal law. Criminal law is based upon deserving a punishment for behaving immorally. When it comes to criminal penalties, they have two objectives. One objective is preventive. Because if you would let people go on doing crimes unpunished, they'll have the street full of crimes. So in order to prevent it, you have to punish in order to for a prevention. But it's not only a prevention. It is also a punishment for misbehavior. We feel that a criminal deserves a punishment. Now, if there would be no free really wouldn't deserve a punishment. The same, as a matter of fact, in courts, it comes up. In court, if somebody is declared insane, insanity takes away the penalty, right? Why? He didn't act with his free will. So whether people understand it or not, they go on the assumption that there is a free will. Is that clear what I say? Huh? Yeah, no, I can tell you how it is, how at least the little I know from a terror, how a terror looks. If a person deserves this, he deserves to have conditions which should be conducive to something. He's given. It's not an interference with his free will, but he is put in such condition that his free will, let's say you are talking about that woman. If she deserves, let me tell you, teshuvah, you have to deserve. It says in Amos, prophet Amos, there is one statement in Amos when it says, days will come, says Hashem, I will bring about a hunger in the land. Are you familiar with this? They sing it. Have you ever heard this? So that's the prophecy that they will come, said the Lord, when I will bring about a hunger in the land, neither a hunger for the land, nor a thirst for water, but to hear my word. So this is something which is realizing today, so, because the entire Shura became a movement. Right?
Like a Zionist
movement. No, a Zionist movement is something else.
No, I mean it's a movement. No, that's not saying it's
no, a movement, I mean to say something which happens to more individuals. Which happens more and more.
It's moving forward.
20 years ago, maybe there was already a yeshiva for, but today it's full. Wherever you go here, you know how many institutions in Yerushalayim there are yeshivas for Balei Tshuva and schools for girls Balei Tshuva. In numbers which have not been, it something is by providence being brought about now. There's no question about it. But what people don't know, the same prophecy, it says that people will be misled. And people will get lost. Will get lost. That's the same. What it means. Again, the principle of freedom of choice. that every inspiration which comes about, it always has two sides. The lucky one benefits, the unlucky loses. Now there is, today, there is a hunger. People are searching for something. The lucky ones come to Ursameya. The unlucky ones join the cause and join Jewish for Jesus. It's the same hunger. Somebody is lucky and he is hungry. He picks up a piece of healthy bread and eats. And somebody is hungry and is unlucky, picks up a piece of poison. The possibility of two sides is always there in anything. As it says in Chumash, in Re'ei, look, I place before you a choice between a blessing and a curse. And it doesn't mean that the blessing is here and the curse is there. It means exactly the same thing. You use it right, it becomes a blessing. You misuse it, it becomes a curse. Huh? Whatever it is.
So if you're in the lucky situation,
yes.
Your situation is great. So you still have free will to get out of there.
You have. But what happens, circumstances.
So you would determine what you get lucky circumstances.
This I think people have to decide. We don't. That's what I meant. Huh? You never know. You never know. Sometimes a person did something good once and he forgot about it. But it makes him deserve it. I'll tell you, there is a story, Rashi quotes that story in which two men died. One was a very good man and one was a knight. And the funerals were going on the same day. Something happened, there was a panic, people ran away. Came back, they just got mixed up. They gave a big, great funeral to that wicked man. And the other one, Rashi explains, I don't know what information, that wicked man, once in his life, did something. And he deserved heaven, I suppose. And that great man, once in his life, did something wrong. And he deserved heaven. Which, Rashi wrote that story, which means to say we never know how we deserve, how we don't deserve. But people who are here should be grateful to Hashem that they deserve it. And we pity the people who didn't deserve it. It's a pity. This is how it is. And we should understand. If somebody dares to think that he can understand, I think he makes a mistake. Can you explain how Hashem makes a very comfortable. What's happening to the cells? And they always come out in the shape of a potato, not with a piece of a potato. And how does it make an analysis? excellent qualities. But if we start thinking about it, see how stupid. You know, there was a great man, a great, great mathematician, Frenchman, Pascal. You heard about Pascal wrote an article, The Two Infinites. Are you familiar with that article? The does infinity, the two infinites. Our infinite tiny region is the human being, and how infinite, huge is the universe. I don't know, I have to look, I may have that answer. So, if we start thinking, take things for granted. We don't know what this is. We don't know. So, how can we dare? And the human being is the most complex thing in the world is the human being. Even the physical system, the coordination. Each and every cell with all the other cells of that body. How the machinery and how every part of the machinery coordinates with other parts. Liver, the kidneys, the heart. It's the biggest marvel. And this is nothing compared to the brain. And the brain is nothing compared to free will, compared to the power of making decisions. So, and we want to understand. We are trying to understand the divine as far as we can, but that's it.
The person wants.
Yeah. So, yeah, let me, maybe I would like. Yeah, I would like to summarize what I said in a minute. And you tell me if I miss something. And the principle of the area of free will is within circumstances. We cannot create conditions, we cannot create circumstances. But within them, we have the free will to act ethically or unethically. That's the whole free will. But it takes in all of the action.
Like this woman who said her marriage was, she thinks God brought her to the man.
Fine. Those are conditions. Conditions are the providence.
So obviously, God could have set up for.
But those conditions, a person has to preserve.
Plus, even when we were married, she did what she was. She did it. She wasn't a witness.
Tell you something. Let me give you an example. Recently, a bocher comes to me. He tells me 2 years ago, I was a tourist or something. He was at that ball. Bocher living in that. I sent him for a Friday night. Says, out of that Friday night visit, he decided to enter to join the issue. Now he is in the world. Now he deserved to be at the Kursel and then with Borch Levin. Then that was a circumstance. The rest is already his free will. If it would have never happened, Borch, he would never go to that house for a meal. He would never know about the issue. So, but then from there on, it's his tribute. I don't say it. Yeah, I'll tell you. One, the parent tells you, don't take credit. You are grateful for what happened. We have to be grateful for what happened to us. But instead of taking credit, there are plenty that we can criticize ourselves. And even criticizing ourselves. Why? I'll tell you, I once spoke to a man who lost a bank. He was a banker. And he had a treasurer, a non-Jewish treasurer, and one stole more than $1 million. And it was a government control. And he's a Jew, the treasurer is a non-Jew. So they took the bank away from him, and they had even pictures of it. The people chained his hand, they had pictures one day. So I came into that man. The man had fever. And he had ice. He was laying on ice, and he had a wet towel here, and I said to him, Moshe, don't worry. He said, what's the meaning, don't worry? So I told him, listen, when does a person worry? And he has a problem to solve. When you have a difficult problem to solve, you need your full capacities, and worrying at your it made sense, huh? But the only thing I could say, he couldn't hear it. You can reason when you have done that trouble. When you have troubles, you can reason. But that's what I told him. The same thing, we cannot afford to worry. We can take inventory of ourselves and make decisions. Or corrections, but being worried or being, we always have to be in a good mood, because what we miss in our mood, we miss in our capacities. Is that clear with this? So, but there is no point in blaming myself or crediting myself. It's a question. If I have it, I thank Hashem for giving me the opportunity. All right, so again. Then I said, very seldom does providence cut in into free will. And even when it seems that providence cut in, the case with Parod, the Ramban explains it was not in his. It was in creating the circumstances that he should be in a position to realize what he wanted. And that conditions, a person most probably, we don't know the ways of Hashem, but some people deserve to be in better circumstances and so on. I think this is summary. Did I miss out something? No. Now, what's your question?
Actually, this is sort of the other side of the coin, because this is our coin. This is, I wrote this down last week. I read it out of the book. And busy people in the affairs, they direct the course of the universe. The reality is not shifting the crisis of directly encountering all of it. Desires.
Yes.
And I also heard a saying this. It said, man makes plans, God laughs. Questions.
Those
two things. bring everybody back. Yeah. And yet, if in the end, Hashem guides everything correctly, all of his desires.
Yeah, but Leah may change his desire.
What's that?
Yes. Then, I'll tell you the Ramban says. Especially what's concerning Jews as a collective and as individuals, says everything is by providence. To understand it, says you'll never understand it until after a time has passed. Then you look back and you see that it had a pattern that it wasn't a pattern. That's what I'm asked. Is it clear? Let me give you an example for the Ramban. You know, Megillas Esther, Scroll of Esther, the only book in Tanakh which does not have mention of the universe, not once. You know this? Huh? And everything looks to be very normal. Everything that happens is very normal. The whole story, everything. The story that that kind of a king, I call a king, which has absolute power, more than a taker, a monarch. That he kills his wife, that happens so many times. It's not out of the ordinary. I wouldn't call it normal, but it's not out of the ordinary. And then that later he mobilizes all women of the country in order to find out a wife. It could happen to a monarch. There are all these stories over there. And that one of his ministers is anti-Semite. Oh, it's not after the ordinary. And that the new queen turns because she's a Jewess. Everything, there is nothing out of the ordinary. Still, we say that persumanism, that we have to display, that we firmly believe it was a miracle. What was the miracle? I want to hear what you say.
You say that it's natural events are happening, but really since Hashem, we got to look into it.
So how do you? I'll tell you that is one halacha in reading the Megillah, which gives you a hint. The Megillah has to be read exactly chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. If somebody will read chapter 3 and chapter 2 after it, he doesn't have the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. Does it give you a hint? The hint is that the providence, can see providence after seeing the order of what happened first and what happened after. Then you can see that it led up, that it was planned. Because if, let's say, if Haman would become big, and before Esther was in the court, would be attached. So how it happened before that he killed the queen, and then that he falls in love with a Jewish girl. And then the Haman came. And Mordechai, for some reason, is in the records that he saved the king's life. it's forgotten. And right at this, at the necessary minute, the king comes to his mind that sometimes one happening doesn't tell you anything, but if you observe a long time in development, then you can find that there is a plan. So, and this is exactly what you say. It is led by Hashem, but he doesn't show himself in it. That's what Ramban said, that after a long period, and if you look back, then you can realize the end of life.
That's awesome. He was asking the Hashem's name in time, but in the lessons in the parasha, by last letter or the second words.
Right.
Since it's very also at the end of the map, this whole story, that it's just at the end when Moshiach comes, Hashem's going to be there just like he's always been. But so hard to see.
So, did this answer your question?
Change your mind.
Huh?
Change your mind.
Yeah, and tefillah and prayer. So, let me add to your prayer. Prayer has, it's an obligation. We have to pray three times. The Rambam says Menatere it's only once a day. And Menatere there was no text. Each person could have formulated his own prayer. But already the Rambam made text in Esther. And just an application with, if we think, if somebody says, I don't care, I don't care to be a prophet. Why do I say that to pray for the year should be good, should be rain? I don't care. He has to pray. Which indicates that this is an obligation, not only for my convenience, but it's an obligation. So what's the obligation? The obligation consists in hammering into our minds that we are depending on Hashem. So if we keep on asking Him, we keep on reminding ourselves not to take it for granted. Is it clear? But at the same time, we have been promised that if somebody prays sincerely, there is an answer. There is a song today. Mitzvah Gdoila Aliyah is the singer. And they sing it. And wherever I go, I hear people sing it. And somebody wrote a line. And people like that line. And they read it as Mitzvah Gdoila. Yeah, it comes from, I know the source, and it comes from a great man. But still, the statement to say mitzvah Taylor, the Rambam has counted all mitzvahs. And I don't find it to be there. Please be simple. And the other hand, it says a bunch. That people will be in exile. And one of the reasons of being in exile is you did not serve Hashem with joy. yachas Hashem, an attitude that Hashem has given. I found in Rambam something that was surprising. The mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, the mitzvah of love for Hashem. So the Rambam said, how do you love? What kind is a mitzvah you should love? You understand? How can you, how can you command emotions? So the Rambam says, the mitzvah is do things which will make you love. What is it? Observe nature, observe his creation. And we don't observe his creation. Remember I asked you before, how does Hashem make a potato? We don't observe. But if we would start observing, I'll tell you who is doing it. Rav Avigdor Miller. Yeah, he has tapes. Yeah. And some of his tapes, he's talking about nature. And he observed it. The Rambam says, the more you will find the deep, the endless wisdom in the creation, the more you'll become impressed, and the more you'll have a feeling of love for Hashem, or you'll enjoy it. And the Rambam keeps on, and you'll enjoy it. Yeah, I was wondering, where did the Rambam take that addition? And it seems that the entire feeling of love is an enjoyment. If you love something, you enjoy it. So if the mitzvah is after Hashem Elokecha, part of the mitzvah you should enjoy it. If not, it's not the habit. I know from my own experience. Kids here, especially in my neighborhood, outdoor. I like to see them. I like to exchange a smile with that kid. I never met him. First time in my life we'll see each other. And we exchange a smile. I enjoy it. So, I wouldn't say that the mitzvah is to. But mitzvahs we should do enjoying. If a person makes a bracha, he thanks Hashem for a potato. If while he is making the bracha, he realizes how that the great wisdom in that potato producing. I'm grateful, I'm really grateful. And I enjoy it.
Yeah. The way that you answered that question, and the way I understand it, you when you say it's well, that's
fine. Yeah, but then, so I just registered my practice. But it is a person who is unhappy should lock himself up because he's a torture for everybody to put him together under one.
The main question of this that with all this in mind, when you're not listening, a light one, a heavy one.
porridge.
Son.
What kind of kubana?
If a person does not do it, he shouldn't be happy about it.
No, he shouldn't be happy, but after he does it, even it's much.
Sorry, I'll tell you. Not talking about Punavira, talking to a person has difficult situations. Every person has some difficult situations. So I was training myself, if I have a problem, to figure out whether it's some little problem, to clear it and solve it. And yes, if I have it, I concentrate. I concentrate on solving. If I couldn't find it, I went to sleep. I forget it. To go around worrying for things I cannot help is unhealthy. With Averis, it is different. Maybe sometimes, in order to build up a good incentive to correct, that person has to worry too. And it's mercy like this. Not worrying is not, how do you call it? To close your eyes in order not to see. Or if I need to go in order to build up an incentive to correct myself, I have to go. This in itself is my objection to the mitzvah daily. Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. She's ready, I don't think that. Reaction to the
next week?
I hope in your session.